For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast, a very special one because we have in-studio guests. It's guest times, but also probably the weirdest one that I will have ever done. We got Vaughn Parker here, about 11-year, I don't know how many year NFL player, and more importantly, good friend, and in our household, he's known as Uncle BP, yes. Not VP, because Devin always called him BP instead of VP when she was little, and so we've had that stick. And so what's strange about it is we're not on our couch. We're not watching Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football. You're actually in, quote, studio here.
Right.
Now, we fist bump here. You know, we're actually in the same room here. And actually, we can cheers here on camera here so we can see. But he's got a red Solo cup, which probably isn't that unusual, but what's in the red Solo cup might maybe be unusual. And this is just coffee for me. And normally at, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, our time, it's not coffee and it's not water.
Right.
We'll leave it to imagination what it is. The red Solo cup may be okay. So that's why this is a really weird one, but otherwise it's always the same. And because guess what? I don't do any podcast prep, which makes me really bad. Now, you're a podcaster now. We'll get to that.
Right.
And it seems like you do the right things in podcast prep. I don't, because I'm not an interviewer. So I didn't even know I was going down this diatribe of unusualness, which is why you're laughing at me here. But welcome to the show. How about that for a once in a introduction that you guys, the producers of the room, you've never heard before, right? It's a very unusual intro.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it is a little awkward because it's more like having a conversation, whatever, and so forth, instead of this podcast type thing. And you know, your fatal flaw is, like, we've had Vaughn Parker in the living room, or family room, whatever you want to call it, during Twitter Lives, right?
Yes.
And you've commented in during halftime
because
he's sitting on the couch. But I've never, quote, invaded the friendship for a podcast. But now that you're a podcaster.
Is that what I am?
Well, yeah. Look, I know how it works, okay? You were talking about doing this, mm-hmm. and you finally broke down last week and sent me the link to your podcast. Tell me how, okay, one thing that I think I do for Sports Injury Central, when I'm looking at the TV, when I deal with patients, it's about reading the room and the people.
Right.
Okay. And so for you, this is how I think it went. Okay. I've been doing this podcast. I want to share it with Dave, but I don't want to share it with him because, you know, I don't know that it's ready and whatever, whatever. And it's one of those press it, no, later, no, later. Now you're about 4 weeks into the podcast and you finally do the reveal. And you're like, uh-oh, he's going to give me crap about this, or which I never would. Why would you think that about me? What, is that kind of how it went, or is it, you know?
Very similar. I mean, one, you know human nature. Two, you know me very well. But no, and what? Let me circle back really quickly as me being a podcaster. Just, you know, it's that fine line between being a golfer and playing golf, and I was never a golfer. I enjoyed playing golf, but so right as of right now, I do a podcast, but I wouldn't call myself a podcaster yet. Hopefully I'll get there.
I don't call myself a podcaster either. As a matter of fact, the boys in the room will tell me that the best, quote, interviews are due are when the guest takes over the discussion and interviewing, right? Like when Adam Kaplan takes over and says, let's talk about this. Right. Last week, Robert Smith took over and said, let's talk about this. And I just kind of went with the flow because I don't really, I'm definitely not a podcaster or a professional interviewer, etc. So it's more just a conversation in terms of what's going on. I like your podcast so far. What is it again? Tell everyone.
So it's called But First Football, and it really came from an idea. You know, my ex-girlfriend, Melissa, she said, hey, you should do a podcast for women who like football. And I thought about it for a while and kind of fleshed out the idea a little bit. And then who really helped me get it moving along was, you remember Katie Temple used to cover for local.
Katie's channel. Great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And now she does some media consulting, and I got a hold of her. She kind of helped me flesh the idea out a little bit. And originally it was going to be with Madison, my oldest, who, you know,
went
to Canada last year. But unfortunately, with her schedule, she just really couldn't devote the time.
She doesn't have time for dad.
Yeah, basically.
my kids, as you know, a little older. I already get that from Dylan, my 11-year-old. She's starting to not have time for dad. I'm like, what happened? You were my little, you know.
But, you know, for whatever reason, it took her so long to really get interested in football. So I thought it would be pretty cool. You know, she's young. I'm older. She's a woman. I'm a man. And so we'd have that, you know, play off each other. But and like I said, finally, she was asking a lot of questions about football. And so Katie was like, you don't think that'd be interesting? You don't think people want to hear about that? So, like I said, unfortunately, she couldn't do it. But I had a friend, Kim Beal, who I know from, she was a longtime manager at Saks Fifth Avenue, moved to Neiman Marcus, and then they ultimately moved her out to Tampa, but she left Neiman Marcus, and I was like, hey, I'm doing this podcast. And I know she's someone, she knows football very well. You know, she knows all the players. I mean, unfortunately, she roots for the Raiders. I don't mind so much that she roots for the Bucks, but but we've, you know, been longtime friends. And so that's my partner. And, you know, we have really good chemistry. At least people tell us, everyone we've been showing the.
It's, you know, I don't really even listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that I've ever heard my own podcast in my car, because I had played it once, I guess, just to find it. Somehow when I don't hit the buttons right, it pops up. And I, you know, like, you hate to hear the sound of your own voice because it sounds different when you're talking than you hear it coming off. You're like, oh, that's terrible.
Right.
So I don't listen to my own podcast. I haven't listened to all of your podcasts, but I did listen to a lot. I think she does a good job. You do a good job. I have one.
Thank you.
I have one. Of course, you know, suggestions, you know. Okay.
Of course.
But first, football.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But I almost, you guys spend a lot of time talking about the F words.
Yeah.
Maybe the F word podcast. Football, family, friends, philanthropy. I know, PH, whatever. Yeah. Nebraska knowledge, the N. It's fine, you know. Okay. But you talk a lot about Fs and the football fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the F word podcast.
Well, so the way we got to that name was, you know, we came up with a bunch of different things, but Kim actually came up with, hey, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff, because the one thing I wanted to make sure I did was, you know, I follow current events to a certain degree. And so I've always got an opinion about something. And so we talk about other things, but first we talk about football. Right?
Okay. So it's good. And to clarify, you were talking about your Kim.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I have a Kim and I already hear Kim in my ear right now. You know what I hear her saying?
What's that?
What the F are you doing to your friend VP? He spent a lot of time on this podcast. He's come up with a title. You listen to one friggin' podcast and you're trying to change the name of his podcast. I already hear Kim on my shoulder in my ear, my Kim, saying that. And you can imagine her saying that on the couch, right?
Definitely.
No, I think it's good. I'm just joking, tongue in cheek about F word. See, I did listen. I listened, right? You make a big emphasis on all the F words.
If you know the F words, then you absolutely listen.
The F words, but it's not that F word, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not, as you can imagine, and I think we might have talked about it on the podcast. I actually saw that, and you guys talk about the Tom Brady podcast, Tom Brady roast.
Yeah.
Devi. Mm-hmm. Kim took Davis to basketball or something, and she was on my lap and she had the iPad on. I was like, I'd turn on Netflix randomly.
Yeah.
And it was like a minute away from the Tom Brady roast. Okay. I was like, all right, let me watch that. And about 20 minutes in, Devin looks at me and goes, Daddy, there are a lot of naughty words. There's a lot of F word, but they put an N on the end of it. And I was like, you know, it's okay. Here, turn up your thing. And I'm going to, I was like, oh no, I got to hear it from Kim. I better just, it'll be, I can watch it on rewind later on. But yeah, no, yeah, your F word podcast is not that thing, but it would be a catchy title, the F word podcast, but then people would join for the wrong reasons because it's not probably, that F word.
And then be disappointed.
All right. So when you're on the couch and we're talking, we do talk about a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different topics from football to life to other things to OJ Simpson, et cetera. But let's talk about, where do you want? Let's talk about, okay, let's have some semblance of professionalism here. I have some questions here and so forth. Okay. You played football with Jim Harbaugh. The trend in the NFL is the next Sean McVay, the young, brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Harbaugh is 60.
Yeah.
Belichick can't find a job right now. Pete Carroll's out of a job right now. You know, here going back to an older crew, Jim Harbaugh. Do you think he's going to succeed? And if so, why?
Yes. In a word, yes, he will succeed. Why? His track record, I know history is not a predictor of the future, but his track record is that he's been successful wherever he's gone. Now, how long has he sustained that success? You know, I guess that's the ultimate question, but I see him being successful. He's done it once. He knows what the formula is. And, but more importantly, it's not like he's been a one-hit wonder. He's been able to reinvent himself, and he knows that the NFL's moved along from when he was at San Francisco. Things have changed. He's going to have to, change what he's, I mean, he's going to always have his core philosophy of what he likes to do, but he'll tweak it enough that I think it'll make sense in this modern game. And I see him being successful, and he's a grinder. He is a grinder. He's going to work. They're going to work hard, but I think they will reap the rewards of that hard work.
Leading question.
Yes.
Out there in the media, social media, internet world, there's something. They said it in at Stanford and San Francisco, maybe at Michigan, that Jim's act wears thin over time. Why is that? And do you believe that, or your interactions with Jim? And I don't mean it in a negative way.
Right.
He's a hard charger.
Right. So I would say I could see it just from the standpoint. I know him. He's an intense person, and I could project that intensity over, you know, if say an NFL career, if you're with him for 5-6 years, I could see that intensity wearing on you at some point. I haven't personally had that experience because, you know, he was a teammate at the time, and so he wasn't an authority, but like, I know he's intense. I know he has very good recall, isn't the word, but he doesn't forget anything. And so those little things that maybe a certain coach might, maybe you did 10 things and maybe he'll comment on 6 to 7, cut you a break on 3 or 4. Jim's not doing that, right? And so I, hearing people talk, I can see it, right? I can understand it.
All right. We're teasing it out here. Obviously, we've had some of these Jimmy conversations before. I love Jimmy to death. We talked about here on this podcast that when Jim was a quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, we asked him, or I asked him, the medical, the training room asked him, what do you want to do when you quote grow up, right? Because he was towards the end of his football career. He said, he thought about being an NFL referee. That's the God honest truth kind of thing. And obviously he's got a lot of success, and I've shared some of my Harbaugh stories. So tell us your Harbaugh stories that you want to share where he shows his intensity and his never forget nature.
Well, the one is already out there. I mean, I've seen it reported in many places, which is the year before he came to play for us, maybe, can't exactly remember the year, but they're playing us here.
And he was with Indy at the time.
Yeah. And he had an issue with some stuff that Jim Kelly had said in the capacity of being an analyst, and he wanted an apology. You know, they did their pregame interview, and afterwards, I guess Jim wanted a word with Jim Kelly, and he wanted basically an apology for something he had said.
And for calling him soft.
Yeah. Okay. Was that? Well, yeah. I never knew exactly what it was, but and basically, I think the way it got back to me was that Jim basically was like, "Hey, man, my kids have to hear this stuff, and so I need this apology." Jim said, "Hey, I've turned the page. I'm an analyst now. It wasn't disrespectful. It was in the course of the job." He wouldn't give the apology, and so Jim let him know his displeasure by launching himself over a table, breaking his non-throwing hand, and someone I happen to know, I think, got a call that evening.
Now, the rest of that story is that, you know, the announcers always go to the home team on Friday and then the visiting team hotel on Saturday. So at the visiting team hotel on Saturday, Jim Kelly didn't even have a scheduled interview with Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, okay.
Jim sought him out. And I got to say, I love Jimmy because he stood up for everything and he's smart enough to use his left non-throwing hand, which of course he broke. And the reason I got the call is because the Colts athletic trainers are calling around saying, "How do we get an x-ray?" I'm like, "Saturday afternoon? What are you guys doing here? What's going on here?" So, yeah, but see, we're peeling back the onion here. Okay. That is a known story.
Right. Now,
just to set the table here.
Yeah.
You're not the first one that there's a lot of good stories that, you know, we have personally, whatever, and we don't tell tales and repeat. This is your first time as a podcast guest.
Yeah.
One of the other times we had a first time podcast guest. So it's a high bar now. I want you to break some news. Our first time podcast guest last time in here broke some national news that Peyton Manning later talked about on his Manning Cast show.
Okay.
Dave Benn, you know, good old Dave, here. And Dave Benn finally told the story about his one Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick was the head coach. Bill Belichick, the head coach, gets to invite the specialists. And we had good specialists. Dave Benn is great. He deserved the invitation to the Pro Bowl. And Dave Benn told the story of Bill coming up to him first time at practice and saying, "Where's your girlfriend?" And Dave says, "Pamela?" Yeah. He goes, "Oh, she's not going to make it. She's da da." And apparently Belichick said, "Now remind me why the F we invited you." Dave told that story live for the public for the first time. So when Peyton Manning retold that story, because he was a quarterback at the thing, some media guys reached out to me for permission as proof that it was actually a true story because it came from Dave Benn. Okay. So that's the bar that you have.
That's the bar.
Okay. So, you know, whatever stories you want to tell, the names can be changed. Okay. Here's another thing. How did Jimmy get along with his offensive linemen?
For the most part, pretty well. I mean, so here's the thing. Here's what I'll do. Cause I've got many in first, before I go forward, let me preface it. I love Jim too. No, I really do. I don't know if how many people.
He's fiery, okay? I mean, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine. And so when he got the job, someone from the Athletic reached out and I did a brief interview. And I just basically said, you know, all the stories you've seen, Jim running a Michigan football camp in the middle of Alabama, the coach from Detroit slapping him on the. I said, that's who Jim Harbaugh is. And so I've got plenty of stories. The one I feel comfortable sharing, I'll only change one of the names. We were in Oakland. And at the time, we had a top five defense, right? Junior, Rodney. And the offense is struggling. And every time we come to the sideline, the safety, who I will not name, is meeting us at the numbers. And initially, it's very positive. Come on, offense, get it together. You know, you can do it, rah, rah, that type of thing. Well, at some point, it's every time we come off the field, three and out, he's meeting us. And Jim had enough. And so they kind of get into a little John match, come to halftime, you know, remember in Oakland, you go under the bleachers, make the left, and you go up the long set of stairs. And everyone's up for halftime. Our strength and conditioning coach is the last one off the field, and he's coming through the tunnel, makes the left. Harbaugh has the safety by the face mask, just uppercutting. So whatever happened on the field had blown over to the point that the two of them were going to settle it right there, and Jim was getting the best of it. So that's what I mean. Like, Jim doesn't forget any perceived slight, he's going to address. And I think that's why his teams play the way they do. Like, Jim's Harbaugh's teams are tough, hard-nosed teams that are going to physically beat you up. And that's basically what he did that after. And they didn't wait for the end of the game at halftime.
Well, that fits some of the other stories that we won't go to. Jack your grill stories. No, we laugh about this. We're not trying to name names and whatever. It's just, honestly, we've talked a lot. Love Jimmy's fiery nature and the whole deal. He's a great leader and the whole deal. But, you know, it's football, right? Stuff happens and funny stuff happens, et cetera. But suffice it to say, we'll leave you alone as that one story. But maybe, we'll leave our couch stories to the couch et cetera. But they're definitely some good ones. So you mentioned Oakland. Do you know what I think of when I think of that old Oakland Coliseum?
What's that?
You really don't know.
What do you think of?
Remember our cart ride?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I just told that story last night, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But but of all the times you've been to Oakland, I can't remember. I wouldn't think that's the one that just all of a sudden would jump out.
No, because
I'm here, but.
No, because you mentioned an Oakland Coliseum and, you know, other sideline and up the stairs kind of thing.
Yes.
That's what made me think about it. So, all right, I'll let you tell your version of this, of that story. So to set it up, you were the Chargers right tackle. Yeah. You got hurt.
Yeah.
And we were in Oakland in the old stadium there. And you were actually the PA rep at the time too.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay. So to give it a little bit more context, I'll say I tell people this story to determine like the differences in fan bases. So I say when we fly to Green Bay, you know, you fly into Oshkosh, I believe, and 200 of their fans greet you at the airport, and they're just waving from the fence. Hey, welcome to to Wisconsin. You go out for pregame the next day, Sunday, and they're wishing you, hey, we're going to beat you today, but I hope you have a good game. And then there's Oakland, right? The Raider Nation. So,
well, I don't know about your bus. You were on the player bus, okay? Mm-hmm. Usually there's four buses, right?
Yep.
Bus one, bus two, player bus is three and four, typically. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're on bus three or four, but whatever. I ended up on the back of the bus one just in case the head coach or GM ever wanted to talk to me.
Right.
So I was in the back of bus one. But the guys in the back of the bus one, I don't know about the players did this, we used to make wagers over under number of five-year-olds that would flip you off. And the argument was, okay, it's over, but that kid was six. Okay, so it doesn't count.
Right.
I mean, that's Oakland, right? Yes. As you wind around the parking lot. In Kansas City, they just be waving high and bye, and you know.
Right.
But in Oakland, it was over on the number one salutes. It's just the argument was that kid was too old and doesn't qualify for the wager, or that kid is young enough. That was where the fight was. But anyway, so there you go.
So I'm in Oakland, and guy gives me an inside move, and our shins hit, and I know something's wrong because I've never felt pain like this before. So you guys come out, get me on the cart, and we had to run the cart along the sideline. In most places, you get hurt as you're going by, you know, people are basically saying, hey, you know, hope you get better soon. Hope you, you know, return to your career, your chosen career, not in Oakland. First of all, they're trying to spit on me well, us as we're going by, which is just like, and some of them are getting close and it's like, are you kidding me? But then I hope you never play again. I hope this leads to a blood clot and you end up like, I don't even remember some of the crazy things they were saying, but it was just a very different experience. And we used to always talk, look, fans are always going to give you grief to a certain degree. Everyone tells you what they're going to do to you if they could get down to the field. And most of them, you know, the second their foot touched that grass, they think twice, right? The Raiders fans would actually try to do that. they try to carry out some of those threats. They probably wouldn't be very successful, but they try it. So it's just a different fan base, right?
Okay. And to add that story, here's my perspective. Oakland, the old Oakland, mm-hmm. right? The Oakland bench is where the tunnel was, and it was a joint tunnel. Mm-hmm. So the visiting team has to go through the
yes.
home team bench. Then there's different stairwells up, but you know that's the black hole tunnel or whatever, and people whatever. And as many a couple flights of stairs up to the locker room, to the X-ray room is a couple more flights of stairs from there. All right. So I'm no dummy. Vaughn's a big guy. My bad back and surgeries ain't going to be carrying you up five flights of stairs hopping
right.
with an ankle injury. We need the cart to get you there. Yeah. And we also didn't want to walk through the Raiders sign, but that wasn't it. It was the five flights of stairs. It's like, we're not going to mm-hmm. make, we got to get the cart. So we get in the cart, and to get out the tunnel, to get out into the parking lot, is behind the Chargers bench. So we're like going along the outskirts for the longest way possible right. for the fans to give you your greetings.
Right.
Then we go up and out the ramp to the outside. You remember this? The cart stalled.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
The cart stalled. And we're sitting there and I'm looking at the clubhouse guy like, what's going on? He goes, hang on. He leaves. It's just Vaughn and I sitting on the cart. He leaves.
In uniform.
Yeah, but at least we're in the tunnel, okay? And what's he doing? He's running to get another cart. Apparently this one wasn't fully charged or something. Or, you know, I mean, we hadn't gone that far. We got out on the field. It right. should have been able to make it up and out. And right. You're a big guy. I'm not the slot, but the cart should have worked.
Yeah.
He had to go get another cart. We transfer the other cart. Then we go outside, and we're driving around the ring. And in Oakland, there's quite a few fans that don't have a ticket to come right. in, and they're still hanging out outside right. and they're looking. And I honestly don't think they believed that you were, they were like, what is this happening? I don't think they really believed it was like, you know, so we're outside the stadium, no security. I mean, whatever. And then here's the worst part. I still remember this. We're trying to drive on the sidewalk, and there's this big congregation of people in windbreakers, all the day hired security guards or ushers trying to get paid because they've done their early game duties. And we're honking. We're like, can you move so we can get by you? I mean, it was a Far Side cartoon, yeah. you know, in real life. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, I didn't mean to go down that path, but you said Oakland and I was like, oh gosh, that was one of the,
and then I remembered like the X-ray was trash too.
Oh
like,
yeah.
You couldn't even tell if there was a break or not.
Oh, it was not good.
Yeah. It was just the whole bad.
And you were the PA rep too. So yeah. So yeah, there's many, but see, this will go to show you, we haven't shared that story on the couch like ever or even, never really.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So definitely a lot of stories.
Well, let me share this really quickly. Just yesterday, I just happened to be somewhere and one of the Charger girls from the 95 to 96 squad just happened to be there. And she was telling me the story about how, I can't remember what the context was, but Raiders fans were trying to spit on her. And I was like, funny you say that. I got a Raiders fans trying to spit on me story as well, right? So I guess that's their MO.
Well, one time, I almost always flew on the team plane, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a thing. And Kim, mm-hmm. brother, was getting married. and he was getting married on Saturday. The game was, we were playing in Oakland. And so I flew up commercial to go to the game on Sunday morning. Unless there was X games, you know, if you don't travel on the plane, it's like, and I was dating Kim, getting serious, her brother's getting married. Okay, so I go to the wedding. So I flew into Oakland. And for those of you who know Oakland, the stadium, how do you get from the airport to the stadium? Well, there is a bus that takes you to the bus BART stop at Oakland. That's how you get to the Oakland airport, right? So I said, well, I'll just take this shuttle bus. Oh, and it was full of Raider fans, whatever. Thankfully, I did not have any Charger gear on. I was incognito. Not Richie, but I was incognito. And nothing with that, but I was like, oh, this is interesting out here. This is an interesting time out here.
So that was so, always the one place I didn't let Kim, the girl's parents, Kim, the girl's mom, Kim. And well, and it's funny how many Kims I have in my life. So Kim, my Kim, her best friend, the kid's godparents, her name is Kim, your Kim, Kim Beal. And then, and I have a couple more, but more importantly, my college roommate's name was Kim because he was from the South. He was from Tennessee. And apparently Kimberly's a popular, not uncommon boy's name in the South. Apparently.
Well, I was going to thought you say you get a lot of Kims because you just like Asians.
Well, but <ba-dum, bum. laughs> except that none of them are Asian.
Just joking. Now, you know, the stuff, silly stuff we eat. Now, this is with his red Solo cup of just water. So it's okay. It's okay. Gosh, so many different other topics and places to go. We can go with, you know, we talk about your triceps. So you don't need to talk about your so I heard you talk.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about just real quickly, because the NFL is in such a different place. Everyone has their teams, and I get it, right? Like, your body is your commodity, right? You got to take care of it. And I know, generally speak, you can probably speak to this certain aspect better than me, but as far as I see what I see reported, like, everyone gets that second opinion. And it just, I just remember, like, with my tricep, I tear my tricep and I come in that Monday, sit down with you and James, and, you know, hey, this is what it is. You know, you got a tear, so we're going to have the surgery. You're going to be done. And I was the one who suggested, hey, well, what is there a possibility? What if I didn't want to be done? Is there anything we could do to make that happen? And so, you know, we came up with a plan and implemented. I had the surgery, took some time off, and then I came back because, you know, we hadn't been in the playoffs in years. And so we were kind of still in the hunt. And so if I could, I wanted to, you know, you guys found a solution for me. So I'm just saying, I wanted to bring it up just it never occurred to me that you weren't giving me the best advice, right? And it was less, and we weren't as close friends as we were. You know, we definitely had a cordial work relationship, but it's like, no, this is a team doctor. He's telling me what it is, and why would I question, you know? And I look, I'm not questioning those guys for making the decisions they do, but I'm just saying I always felt like I was getting good advice about my body and what was going on, and let me make a good decision. Well,
first of all, this is great. You're taking over. That's second of all, you said a lot there. Okay. Number one is the player is the driver to get me back. It's never been the team or management or the coach. And you talked about that. Mm-hmm. And another thing you talked about, we're really good friends now. Mm-hmm. We were cordial in playing.
Yeah.
And I could even say the same for Buddy, for Junior. I always just felt like, on a professional nature, I liked you. I wanted to be friends. But in the building, I didn't want management to see me siding with players and being their buddies. Mm-hmm. I didn't want coworkers thinking I was kissing ass to players and trying to be their friend. So if anything, I feel like I was more standoffish to you and others while you were playing. Now, how Junior and I got to be, we were always friendly, but when he left the Chargers to go to Miami is when our friendship actually accelerated. We were always friends before that, but it's like keep your distance yeah, a little bit, you know, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And same for you, for sure. I mean, we're 10,000 times better friends after you left the Chargers and kind of thing. And that's always the way that it's been, et cetera. Anyways, so yeah, so the funny thing on your triceps, who was your offensive line coach at the time?
Oh, Hudson Hupp.
Okay, great O-line coach. Hudson, so we hatched this plan, we'll fix you, and then in a month, you're good enough to play in a brace and, you know, your season gets salvaged. Yeah. This is before the revolving door injured reserve thing. It was a one-way door at that point in time. And Hudson, we give the plan to the GM and the head coach and so forth. And Hudson Hauck goes, he can't play with a torn triceps. He can't play with a brace. And I still remember this. I said to Hudson, how did he do in that game? The last game that you played? He goes, he did well. Do you know he tore it in the first quarter? He's like, no. Okay. That's how you gonna, you know, post it out. And as you've said many a time, and this is part of what I say for injury analysis. Mm-hmm. If the opposing team knew you had torn your triceps and they went inside bull rush on you, you would have been done.
Oh, yeah. I just happened to be playing a guy that day who just loved getting up the field on my outside shoulder. And so.
And your set pass set might have been 3 or 4 inches.
A little bit tighter, just to tease him. Like, I was protecting it.
Yeah. And you were making him drive, use his left hand drive to the hoop. You were sitting on that right handed drive.
But you know, but that's the cool part about offensive line. It's like once you lose a little bit of that athleticism, you're getting by on your wits, you know, your know how, your mind, right? And so it's just like, hey, I'm going to invite him to go up the field, which he wants to do anyway. And because if he goes inside, I'm in trouble.
and I always looked at it when we, in terms of the advice, I mean, you got to take care of the assets in any business. Mm-hmm. If you work at a bank, you got to take care of the money.
Yeah.
Well, the assets for the Chargers were the players. So as long as you take care of them, there shouldn't be any conflict. And the other thing is, you know, when people say that there should be independent doctors that aren't with the team at all, how do you get to know someone to make a decision?
Yeah.
To even continue to play in that game with the brace, with you don't have confidence, and was it? You got to know people before the stress.
Yeah.
So to have an outside just come in and opine, I don't think it works. And I think you know, I get it. It's different now. You know, the old man stuff, but it is what it is. All right. What else do you want to cover here? We can talk for a long time here, et cetera.
Well, you know, it reminds me of when, you know, when I would come to the old office for anything back when April was around and you'd come into my room and we just go back into our normal back and forth. And here comes, he's like, Doc, you know, you got other patients, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. A quick question for you.
Yes.
Is anyone going to wear a Guardian cap this year?
I mean, I don't know what it's like to go
the gazoo that. Cap or whatever. No, as you said in your podcast.
Yes, there'll be a couple. There'll be a couple guys, right? Because some guys will be, and it's not a confidence, like. Yeah, if you wear, guys are going to give you crap about it, right? But there are going to be some guys who are like, look, it's because guys are making different decisions now, right? Guys are retiring earlier, whatever it is. There will be a handful of guys who be like, you know what? If they're saying it'll give me that much of an advantage in terms of this issue, then yeah, you know, I'll do it. You know, one thing
I don't think it's bad.
Yeah,
I think it might help with the multiple of subconclusive blows, but. Yeah. You know, it's the still contra contru, the shaking jello in the side of the heart.
Skull. Deceleration that's in your brain. Nothing you can do about
that. That's not. And I don't even know if you know this. Do you know why helmets were invented and by who?
Ooh, I want to say, for some reason, I have it in my head that maybe at the University of Michigan, someone had something to do with it. But I don't know exactly why now.
It started with football. Mm-hmm. And there were kids dying from subdural hematomas.
Oh, okay.
Helmets, the NCAA was not started as a March Madness tournament. the NCAA is basically dead now with NIL, but NCAA was started in Teddy Roosevelt times as a safety organization. And one of the first things they did was to start use of helmets. Helmets definitely prevent skull fractures and subdural, epidural hematomas. They were never invented for concussions.
Gotcha.
And so that's a little bit of the history of that. All right.
Well, you know, something, I just got back from the University of Pittsburgh. I did the brain study out there. You know, they're trying to get answers about, you know, concussions, the long-term effects. And so ultimately the study's going to take 150 guys who played in the league, 150 guys who never played beyond high school, compare, see what comes back. And so thankfully, you know, I've got some stuff I need to take care of, not brain stuff, but because all my brain stuff was great. Right. And I'll just tell you what they told me. That's all I can do. Right. I can just report what was reported to me. And so of everyone who's gone through, like, my test results were the highest over the course of the test. And we took a million different tests. And I'm sure you've taken some of these at some point in time. Right. And it's just these abstract squiggles. So it's memory, it's processing speed, it's all that stuff. So, you know, no issues for me. And I've only been diagnosed with one concussion, and that was college. Right. I imagine maybe I've had some, maybe I haven't, I'm not sure, but no issue. So that was good. But the point is, I just wanted to give them a shout out, University of Pittsburgh, because, you know, like, there's so many questions. As we've talked about the issue, like, there's one study and 99 of 100 had CTE, but every study has kind of a bias on a certain level, right? And so, like, you know, luckily I have you and your Kim in my life, because I can talk to you guys about this medical stuff, and you say, yeah, this is what that is, but hey, calm down for a second, because it's not guaranteed. We still don't know why one guy gets it, one guy doesn't, right?
CTE is definitely real. Mm-hmm. And my message to everyone is, it's definitely real. Mm-hmm. You gotta take care of yourself, but it's not a death sentence. That's all I'm.
And that's what I'm saying about the University of Pittsburgh is, you know, just more answers, and you know, seems like they're doing a lot of good things, and so hopefully, at the conclusion of their studies, they're about halfway through, they'll, you know, have some more answers, some more helpful answers for some guys, because I know there are some guys out there who are hurt, you know, like my buddy AD, who unfortunately no longer with us, but I know he felt that he was having some issues with his brain, and so. You know, be good to get some answers.
No question about that. No question about that. But I always knew you were a smart guy. And so I've said this often to this room here. Football is probably the one sport that you can be too dumb to play. Seriously. Well,
but in some respects, that's what they want. They want you to just charge through that wall and don't question it.
On defense, maybe.
Well, yeah, but it's position, definitely position specific. All I'm saying is, all those Wonderlic scores in the single digits,
they
all play a certain position. That's all I'll say and leave it at that. I won't say which one.
One of our friends, I won't say who, he said at his school, he goes, God, this NFL is so different. I said, what do you mean? He goes, all this reading and plays, he goes, what about college? He goes, they just told me to get the football. And he was athletic enough. And go get the ball, see ball, get ball. You know, he didn't have all these schemes and reads and responsibilities and everything else. All right. We won't go over time. We'll do it on our own time over a different kind of Red Solo Cup. Thanks for Vaughn Parker for coming into studio here. And I think you should go, although your Kim on the podcast is good, I think having your daughter, if she'll talk to you, it actually would be a good podcast.
Yeah, well, we plan on having her on, because we plan to have some guests. And she's definitely one of the people we want to have on, because she's just got great questions that I never even think. Like, it's Kim, very early on, asked me, what does the field smell like, right? And it's like, what does it smell like? Right. So just funny stuff like that. So
absolutely. All right. Give your podcast again.
But First Football.
and it's available at blah, 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 Apple, Spotify,
Amazon Music, yeah, all the usual places.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate you. We'll take a quick break and we'll do part two of the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. All right. It's great to have VP or Uncle BP, as we say, in Yvonne Parker. And I do like his new podcast, by the way. We went long. Of course, I knew we would, because that's just us sitting on the couch. We probably could have gone a lot longer.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But what do you got, Taylor, for the rest of the rundown and different things?
All right, I guess I'm going to start on a sport we don't usually talk about here. Just recently, we had a big boxing match just postponed for Mike Tyson. So he had an ulcer on the airplane. Explain to me what your thoughts on that is, Doc, and that it's not just an old man going through something, right? It might be a little more than that.
Who are you calling old man?
I know.
Okay. Anyways, I saw that report in the airplane, and we don't like to speculate. But I didn't believe for 1 second it was an ulcer flare-up, because how does a simple flare-up lead to dizziness and nausea, et cetera, lightheadedness and other things? Now, my hope was that he didn't have a bigger medical issue.
Okay.
But now that the fight's been postponed, that's where we come up and said, okay, we hope actually it was an ulcer, but flare-up is saying I got elbow tendonitis as opposed to a Tommy John issue.
Right, full tear.
Right?
Yeah.
This has to be, in my mind, a very severe ulcer flare-up or a bleed where he became anemic and lightheaded.
Okay.
And anemic being he's lost blood because of the ulcer. And that's what made him lightheaded. The good news is once you fix the ulcer part and you build up his blood again, he's normal again with really no residual, which would explain the delay in the fight because he can't train when you're anemic.
What were the exact words? That there might be little light training and then he'll fully ramp up in a couple weeks.
Which so this all like, fits.
Yeah.
Not an ulcer flare-up, but a bleeding ulcer with active blood loss. And so they fix it and build his blood back up over a month or two and get back on training. So I fully expect them very soon to reannounce the fight.
June 7th is when they're going to do it, but you don't expect it to be like a 6 to 8 month layoff, more of a...
I think the fight's going to happen in 2024.
Okay.
The question is it a month delay or a 2 month delay? I mean, I would imagine they want to keep it out of football season.
Paul kind of teased on Twitter that he was going to try to fill in someone for the slot and then still fight him for the later slot, but that probably wouldn't make too much sense. He should probably just talk a little bit there.
No, who knows? But we can talk another time. Apparently, he's gained put on a lot of weight.
Yeah, because he has to move up to the heavyweight. Yeah, he's put up over 40 pounds. So he went from around 195 to almost 230 now. Yeah, so
195 is heavyweight.
Yeah, is it? Maybe he might have been at 185 and he's at the 230 now, yeah. But, I mean, he's not used to this weight, like you said.
The weight you're 6, but I think over 190 is heavyweight.
Okay.
But anyways.
To match up to Tyson, he had a little, just add a little bit more, yeah.
But, yeah, the good news is, I think, here, how's this for pun intended? Iron Mike needs some more iron to build up his blood.
There you go.
Because of the anemia from his bleed, and that would easily explain this situation. Iron Mike needs some iron. There's your headline.
There you go. One liner right there. All right, just to dip in a little weird situation in football, Doc. Darren Waller. So he released a R&B video about his divorce he just did from a WNBA star, Kelsey Plum. There's the Giants said they don't know if he's going to come back to training camp or not.
Time out a second.
Yeah, yes, yes.
In this day and age of people more your age than mine, is it even weird that he released a song about this?
It's not weird. You're right.
They do that. That's what they do now. Now, would Vaughn Parker have ever done that? No, you would have seen him laugh and shake his head. But we've been saying for a long time, and I guess there were many questions I could ask Vaughn. You can't be halfway in for football.
Right.
If you're like undecided and you've been undecided for this long, you've already decided. You're not committed to it. And that's not bad. You may be time to move on in your life, right? And there's other things. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not calling him soft. I'm saying football is a sport, like a lot of high-level sports, that you need to be all in or out. And if you're halfway in, it doesn't work. And it seems like at most he's halfway in. So I think the retirement is coming. Forget the R&B song.
Yeah, all the personal all the stuff. Yeah,
that I don't know.
Yeah, recently he did respond this morning in a rap as well, freestyle to the reports of the Giants stuff. It just seems like, I just want to ask you, just from your standpoint, players, do they not like this stuff, seeing this stuff? Do they want, they obviously want him to be full in, right? Or are they seeing this in like you said, it's Darren, he'll figure his stuff out, he's going through stuff right now? Or
I think it's management that's probably like, come on, yeah, we just need to move on from this, show him respect, but move on and figure out the thing. I mean, songs, that's his prerogative. If he wants to move on, that's his prerogative. I just don't think if you're not all in, you're not, you do need to move on.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I think he has/will. He just needs to cross the threshold to officially do
it. And that's probably hard for a player, right? To say finally, oh, I'm done football. It might take a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that's how you identify yourself for a big portion of your life, adult life, and even pseudo kid life. You were always that. That's what we talk about. A part of you, when you stop, look, when you're a policeman and you stop being a cop, a part of you dies. When you're in the military and you stop being in the military, part of you dies. If you're a football player and a pro athlete and you stop, part of you goes away. That's part of coping with loss and the whole, not to get dark and deep into the CTE stuff, but it's all part of it.
Just going to another sport, Doc, the NBA Finals is coming up, Celtics versus Mavs. Big thing we've been saying at Six Score all the time is Kristaps Porzingis should and probably will play game one with his right soleus calf that he's been out most of the year, most of the
I think he's going to be okay. If you want to ask me, am I more worried about Porzingis' calf than Luka Doncic's knee
and other injuries
and wearing down? I'm more worried about Luka. Now, that's not saying wishing ill or saying he won't make it, but that shows you how relatively little worry I have for Porzingis.
And the calf too, he's a bigger guy, Porzingis, so it wouldn't affect him too much going forward. Like, you expect him to be the same Porzingis when he comes in game one?
I think so. He might have to work his way back a little bit, full minutes and different things, because he's missed several weeks now.
Right. You highlighted the Luka thing. The big one was Derek Lively, that we were very correct in opining that it was a one-day absence, so just a little spasms, whiplash kind of thing, right?
Yeah, Lively's 100%. No problem. But as we usually find, by the time you get to the finals, whether it's the Super Bowl or NBA Finals, whatever, it's usually healthier teams. The non-healthy teams have been knocked off, like the Knicks.
And this eight day layoff too, which is really helpful. Just a couple. We always are covering MLB at sixscore.com. There's obviously the local Padres is where we are, dealing with a lot of stuff. So we have Darvish, starting pitcher, going off with a left groin strain. Another pitcher, Musgrove, a re-aggravation of the triceps elbow issue that he was on IL two starts before. So that's something he's dealing with. And then what did your take on a Luis Arraez shoulder issue?
Luis Arraez, it's not Xander Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts sublux dislocated shoulder, had the fracture. He's had a conversation among some of the dads, like, why didn't they put him on IR already? They says because they don't need to. They can always convert it to 60 day. Yep. They don't
retroactive,
need to yet,
exactly.
Just in case he's short of 60 days. They don't need to make that decision yet for Bogaerts with his fracture. Luis Arraez, I don't think he's going to miss much time. It's not the same injury to his shoulder. Of course, Darvish is a little concerning, and Musgrove is a little concerning. Ex-Padre Blake Snell is very concerning. Re-aggravation of the same adductor. So he's out another month. You know, maybe it's going to stretch to the 60-day IL, but he's out another month at least. Maybe the 60-day IL is where he's going to be targeted, etc.
Well, we were along on the last first portion, Doc, so that's all we have for right now. Just keep on. We're gonna have the Euros content.
About Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, let's have your thoughts on that. So she's been getting a little they're getting physical with her recently. There's an incident that happened last game. What are your thoughts on that? New player in the league, superstar.
You know, I hear the chatter about black and white. I don't know. It might be more us and not us. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like these WNBA women, they're a more exclusive brand and level of athlete than even NBA players are not, right? Because the NBA is even smaller.
Right.
These women are great athletes and special. There's part of it, I think, is more, who's this scrawny little kid, forget the color of their skin, mm-hmm. coming in and the media is blowing them up to be the biggest and best things. I'm better. Mm-hmm. It's more, I almost would call it more, quote, rookie hazing than race, this, that, the other. It's like, you haven't earned it yet. We're going to show you how tough the NBA is, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think she's getting hip checked because she's white. I don't know. I would certainly hope not. I don't think she's getting hated on because she's white. She might, because she hasn't earned her stripes yet in the WNBA.
And she's already been anointed in a way, like you said.
The public and media have anointed her. I mean, I would compare it a little bit. Think back to Tiger Woods. When he first hit the scene, mm-hmm. he was anointed and the other PGA Tour players didn't like him. Mm-hmm. Did they not like him because he was half black? I don't think so. I think this didn't like the new kid. Why are you anointing this new kid? Yes. I mean, we've been here. And now if you look at Tiger Woods, everyone loves Tiger Woods because they realize what Tiger has done to elevate the brand and all their money has gone up and so forth. But in the moment when Tiger Woods was new on the scene, it's like, who is this new guy? You know, there's a little bit of rookie hazing and we don't like him. I would think, look, I don't want to speak for WNBA players, but I think it's too simplistic to say it's about a black player and a white player in society. I think it's more about new. You haven't earned your stripes and we're going to show you. If you really get down to it, some of the quote white players have said similar things about Caitlin Clark.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the Diana Taurasi's and da 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 da.
Sue
Bird, right? I mean, it's more about earning your stripes, I think. And are they going to physical up a little bit? Yeah, because she's not the biggest athlete in the world. Mm-hmm. And some of those NBA athletes are much bigger / stronger. So they're going to rough her up a little bit. I mean, now does Indy need an enforcer? I hear that now. I don't know. It's not hockey.
It's like the Gretzky thing. Yeah.
It's not hockey,
Marty McSorley. But, yeah.
You know, but I have to give Caitlin Clark credit. I haven't heard her whining about it. And I think that's going to ultimately lead her a quicker path out.
Yeah. Yeah, she just said it wasn't a basketball play, right? I think it's like you said, she came in the league like already considered the greatest without scoring a bucket. She had her own shoe deal. She changed the WNBA, so they're putting more money into, you know, smaller things like charter flights and stuff like that. So like you said, a lot of players that were there for a couple of years are wondering why now, right? Or like you said, just like the rookie hazing. So for right now, Doc, that's all I have right now. Continually following our stuff at sixcore.com, right?
Absolutely. A lot of baseball stuff going, everything all year round. I really like the off season in terms of the podcast because we do the Vaughn Parker thing and other things. We've got some good ones coming up here. And what I'm looking forward to is doing a podcast appearance with Dr. Tom Mayer.
Yes.
NFLPA lead physician.
You're like, I have lots to talk about with him. You got excited when you hear that.
Yeah. He hasn't been on. There's a lot of good questions.
Absolutely.
And a lot of good discussion there. Look, we'll have Alan Sills on too, if he wants to, but Alan Sills has lots of avenues to get on. So I love Alan Sills. I like Dr. Sills, Dr. Mayer. Look forward to a lot of these podcast guests coming up here. Thanks for listening and watching. Thanks to Vaughn Parker. Check out, but first football,
the first football. Yep. Spotify, wherever it's at. Yes. Apple. Yeah.
Thanks for listening and watching the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.